Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Welcome to a brand new season of The Lorraine Murphy Show. We are now on season 6, people. I cannot believe it. Thank you so much to everyone who took the time to feedback. Dozens and dozens and dozens of you completed my podcast survey. So I sat down last week and I had lots of juicy insights from you guys to work with to create this season. So based on all of your feedback, there was a big request for more organization content, more mindset content, more life lessons and life advice. So what I have decided to do is create this season all around LM life lessons. These are all the different lessons that I have learned, the greatest lessons, 10 of the greatest lessons that I've learned in my life and of course continue to learn, and the lessons that I share most with my mentees, event attendees, and the online program participants that I work with. So before I jump into the first episode of this brand new season, I wanted to tell you a bit about Create Academy. And Create Academy is my brand spanking new program, which just opened up last week and is already, it's crazy, the most popular program that I have ever created. So based purely on the amount of enrollments we've had in just 1 week, it is by far and away the most popular program that I have ever done. So with Create Academy, the reason I created it is one of the biggest challenges that I see in my community and also that I personally experience is the challenge that we want to be more creative. We just don't really know how. So what I've created is Create Academy, which is a 6-week program to help you get more creative. And guys, I am so excited about this one for many, many reasons. One, I just love the branding. It's university in style. It's super fun and super energizing. I'm also super excited because I've got, for the first time ever, I've brought guest trainers onto a program with me. So all of my programs have only ever been me, or of course, couple goals with my darling husband, Wade. And with Create Academy, I've got 2 guest trainers. So Helen Jacobs, who is a psychic and is also my interviewee this week for the show. And also Christy Goodwin, Dr. Christy Goodwin, who is a digital well-being expert and is my go-to expert on all things tech and social media and how we can make them more healthful in our lives. So myself, Helen and Christy will be guiding the group through a 6-week curriculum. Each week there's a weekly lesson, which is dropped via, is a video that gets dropped into your inbox. I've also made this super accountable in style. So each week we'll be asking students to complete a quiz. Everyone who completes their quiz and passes that week's lesson will go into the prize draw. Every single week we'll be sending a gift out to one participant, and these are nice things. So beautiful scented candles, stationery, chocolates, beautiful pampering products. So all of these lovely things. And the reason I've done that is I lean very, very heavily on self-incentivization when I'm working on creative projects. So I thought it would be really fun to almost weave one of the tools that I'll be guiding the group through into the actual program itself. So it starts on Friday, the 12th of June, and enrollments, as I said, are open now and are being snapped up, which is absolutely awesome. If you want to check it out, you can go to my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, and just find Create Academy up there. And I'll also pop a link in the show notes as well. Now, one more thing related to Create Academy. I am hosting a free masterclass. It's happening next Wednesday and Thursday. It's called Find Your Flow, the 5 biggest blocks to creativity and what to do about them. And there are actually 2 sessions. This is the first time I've done this. I've got a nighttime session, which is at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, the 3rd of June. And I'm doing a daytime session at 12 p.m. on Thursday, the 4th of June. So you can nab your spot. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to just write the URL down. It's lorrainemurphy.com.au/masterclass. And you can just pick which session suits you best. Register. If you can't make it live, do not panic. We will send out the recording afterwards so you'll get all the deets there as well. Okay, so after that super exciting news, let's jump into this week's episode. So we're jumping right into the first of my 10 LM life lessons. And as I already mentioned, my special guest this week is psychic, author and soul coach Helen Jacobs, who's actually making her second appearance on the show. I first interviewed Helen for the first, very, very first season of The Lorraine Murphy Show. And her episode is still, I think it's in like the top 5 or 6 of all episodes that I've done. So yeah, worth the listen if you haven't connected with Helen yet. I would really recommend that you go back and listen to that episode as well. So the reason I wanted to speak to Helen is learning how to tune into guidance has been one of the greatest lessons I've learned, and it's a journey that continues today. She is one of my spiritual dream team, as I call them, and I've leaned on her for guidance in both my business and personal life for years now. She's also, as I said, a guest trainer on my new program, Create Academy, which is a 6-week program to help you live a more creative life. In myself and Helen's chat, we cover the difference between our higher guidance and our inner guidance. This was new to me, so I'm so glad she created this distinction in our conversation. How everyone can access this guidance in their lives, even if spirituality is a new path for them. Why we both want to ban the word woo-woo. The 3 most simple and effective ways to tune into our higher guidance. And also the 3 tools that she recommends to tap into our inner guidance. How to know the difference between guidance and fear. This is a really, really important point. Why intuition and creativity are so tightly enmeshed, and a peek at what she'll be sharing with Create Academy students. So I cannot wait to bring you my second chat with Helen Jacobs on the show, and I hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed having the conversation with her. So hello, Helen. Welcome back to the show. I'm very excited to have you back again.
Oh, thanks, Lorraine. I'm always just happy to have a chat.
I know. Well, I did say to you, I'm only sending you a few questions because we probably will go on tangents knowing you and I. So
yes, keep me
so
on
top. I'm so thrilled to have you. And you're actually you're the premier act of this new season. So I'm jumping straight into this new life lesson season with you. And I'm really excited to talk to you because I think tuning into our guidance, and I know you've kind of got some schooling to do with me and with everyone listening on that already, and it's one of the most important life lessons that I've ever learned. And I've talked in different spaces, whether it's books and so on, about, I guess, my spiritual awakening, which is actually through a book called Angels in My Hair by a lady called Lorna Byrne. And I read that, I think, about 3 weeks after I actually arrived in Australia back in 2009. And since then, it's been, as you know, it's like a rabbit hole, like you go deeper mm-hmm. and deeper and layers and layers and layers into this area. So I'm really excited to have you. And I think it's also, what am I saying, appropriate that the very first episode in this season is in life lessons is about a spiritual lesson, because I think very often we go out and say, we need to learn to be a better leader and learn to manage my time better. And actually so much of this actually comes down to almost like that foundation of ourselves and our own intuition and guidance. Does that make sense? So I'm excited to start on that note.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, obviously intuition is really just who you are. And so when you know who you are, then everything else becomes a lot easier.
I love that. And you know, it's so funny, they'll be out of sequence, but I've just recorded another episode for this season. And it's about knowing yourself and the different tools. And so, yeah, that's beautiful. But yeah, hold that thought until that season, that episode. So I'm going to jump straight into questions because I've been kind of sharing with my audience this season is very kind of to the point, and it's about kind of extracting those lessons and also having a chat with amazing people like you. So when we talk about higher guidance, can you school us a bit on what are we actually talking about when we talk about that?
Yeah, of course. Well, where I'd actually like to start is that we have a higher guidance and we have an inner guidance. So for me, a higher guidance is something that's kind of bigger than us. So in my world, I talk about spirit guides or really just the world of spirit communication in general. So for some people, it might just be the idea that the universe is communicating with you. But an inner guidance, and I think more of us are more familiar with this, an inner guidance would be our intuition or our emotions or that that hunch, the feeling, the gut instinct that we have actually several times every day. And when we're able to work with both, we actually start to get this really broad contextual picture of what's happening in our lives.
I love that. So can you talk a little bit more about the difference between the inner guidance and the higher? Because that's I was kind of joking with you. You did question that with me before we got on, and you said, I want to talk about both. Can you, what's the difference? For the absolute 101, what's the difference between the two, do you think?
Well, I think in basic terms, inner guidance is what's already residing inside of you, and a higher guidance is coming from a source outside of you. So, spirit guides don't reside inside of you. They exist on that. I want to keep it really like listener friendly, but essentially a spirit guide will exist outside of the physical dimension, right? Like that we can't see them. We can't talk to them like you and I. Well, I mean, the internet is close, but we're not like physically, tangibly talking with these guiding beings. Another way to think about it is when our loved ones pass away, we are still able to communicate with them beyond the physical world. So higher guidance is, in my mind, communicating with really non-physical beings that aren't ourselves.
Yeah.
So then inner guidance is more self-directed. It's more our immediate personal emotions, our gut instinct, our immediate response to, you know, situations, people, our life. And so it's more by feel. And so people will have a hunch on something, or, you know, I've just had a sense to do this thing or not do this thing, or to like actually process our emotions, which is like, in my book, that's like such a rich data source of information that we are often trying to ignore or squash down or avoid.
Okay. If I was to get you to stand in front of a whiteboard and draw a line down the middle and have the higher guidance on one side and the internal guidance on the other, the soul would be internal guidance on the left-hand side of the board, I think.
Okay, so you want to get a bit technical. Okay.
This is why I do want to dive into this a little bit more, because I think very often, and I even find this in my own writing, when I'm writing something, I'm saying, you know, I get guidance from, you know, whatever your belief is, whether it's soul / universe / God / we kind of bundle them all into one.
Yes, we do.
Does that make sense? So yes. Where are they sitting? So when we talk about, I know where I'm going with this, just to get a little bit more clarity.
No, and I'm actually really glad that you've asked this question, because I see it all the time, people talking about soul, and actually it's got nothing to do with their soul. And it's just a little bugbear of my own. So if we have to put soul in a category, technically we are connected to our soul. And what we're doing when we're moving through a spiritual awakening is actually opening our human body to receive more of our soul at any given point. It's kind of like turning up the frequency or the wattage on a light bulb, right? So we've always got some sort of source for that light bulb, but when we flick the switch, we can be running 40 watts or 60 watts, or eventually actually running a system that's like, I don't know what the term is, maybe like 1,000 kilowatts or megawatts or whatever it might be. I should have paid attention in science. I can't believe how many times I use that phrase. So our soul is connected to us. On a technicality, I would place it as higher guidance. And perhaps really what you're pointing to is that often our higher guidance, so whether that is our soul, whether that might be a spirit guide, or, you know, whatever your understanding of God is, it will often use our inner guidance or our intuition as the vehicle to connect with us.
So it's almost like your soul is the interpreter for the higher guidance. Yes?
I would say that our intuition is often the interpreter for our soul. So our soul may only be able to get our attention through our intuition to begin with.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you. Okay. So if we are kind of starting on this, I mean, it's something that I do try and tune into daily, and I've got my own practices, but I'm obviously always keen to learn more. Mm-hmm. What should we be aiming to do as an initial, okay, I just want to get more guidance that's beyond the SMH. Sydney Morning Herald says this, and this is what I should be doing. Like I want to tune in deeper, mm-hmm. whether that deeper is taking me in the direction of higher guidance or my own internal guidance, i.e. intuition.
Yeah.
Where should we try to focus first, or should we just be trying to create more space to let this guidance drop in?
Look, my personal experience has been, and like, yes, I may not be everyone's.
average Joe.
But when I turned that light switch on, you know, and the voltage came in, I went from like no wattage to mega, 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 mega wattage seemingly overnight. So, you know, for the average Joanne that's possibly listening, yes, creating stillness, space, and silence is what I always recommend as the starting point. It is really difficult to listen to your internal voice when you are being bombarded with everyone else's voice. Mm-hmm. So that stillness, space, and silence can look like meditation. It can look like walking. It can look like a creative pursuit. It can look like playing with your kids. It can look like just having some white space in your calendar. And you and I are recording this towards the end of isolation. It can look like being in isolation.
Yeah. I'm so glad you did touch on that because mm-hmm. It's been full. Like, I don't feel like I've had these stretches and, you know, expanses of time, but what I would say, it's been quieter. There's less noise. There's even just been less traffic, less. I'm seeing less people. Like, I'm physically seeing, well, until quite recently, I've seen pretty much no one. So, and I'm experiencing absolutely enormous shifts in my life, whether that's, you know, between myself and Wade or my own growth or getting real clarity about my business. It's been, so I think that's a really good point that you've made. It's just about finding those quiet windows, and it's not necessarily about that we need to go sit on a mountain in Peru for 3 months. It's just about how can we create more quietness. So what you said, silence, stillness, and
stillness, space, and silence. And then what I would probably also add to that, in like specific tools that people can use, a guided meditation is a great way to tap into your intuition. So if it is specifically designed to tune you in. And I hinted at this before, actually pay attention to your emotions. Actually give yourself permission to feel whatever the heck you are feeling. Mm. You may want to create some space to honor that feeling. It may not be appropriate to always voice that in every situation, but I really want to encourage people to connect with their emotions, because it is such a gateway to the truth of who you are and what you're feeling and what you want.
Yeah. And also tuning into your values. I know for me, I've done a bit of work around my values, and my highest value is freedom. Mm-hmm. So when I'm really, really pissed off, like very, very angry, it's generally because I feel like my freedom's being restricted in some way. So I think they're all the little clues, aren't they? It's almost, I got this visual. I use this metaphor so much. You know, when you take your kids, well, actually, I've never taken Lexi bowling. I just said to the other day, we need to take you bowling. You know, when you go bowling and they put the little kiddie bumpers into either side of the, so you kind of have to hit something type thing. But I feel like when you're talking about the emotions, it's almost like they're giving us those bumpers. It's like they're kind of giving us those parameters. And then if we're feeling very upset about something, or also very, very happy about something, it's just giving us a bit of a,
a location almost on where we're at. You know, is this just kind of going against where I feel like I should be and what I want? Or is it taking me closer? Does that make sense? Is
yeah, that absolutely. What you're thinking? Yes, I call them a litmus test. They are simply a barometer or a little flag saying, something's out of order here, something's out of alignment, you need to pay attention. It is like having you're running out of gas, which is such an American turn of phrase, running out of petrol, and the light comes on. They are just a little indicator on the dashboard where you are in alignment or out of alignment. You might say with your values, and I would say with your soul.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you. So can I just check in with you? So we've talked about, I love the three S's that you've given. They're so, so helpful in that sense. Do you believe that everyone can access this guidance in their lives? Because I think for quite a few people, they feel like, oh, well, I'm just not woo-woo. I can't tune into that. and they're... What was I watching? I was watching, I was doing some training last night with Mel Robbins. She's an incredible speaker and author. Mm-hmm. And she said, you need to create enough stillness to see the signs, because the signs are everywhere, but mm-hmm. some of us aren't creating enough kind of space or enough perception to actually see whatever those signs are. So do you think, from all the work that you've done, do you think that everyone has it in them to get this guidance?
Yes. The simple
answer, yes.
We don't question whether everyone can breathe. We don't question whether everyone needs food to survive. We don't question whether we generally are all born with five senses intact. Every single one of us is born with intuition built in. And the reason that I know this to be true is that after a decade working with thousands of people all over the world, not one of them has been able to tell me that they've never had a gut instinct, that the hairs on the back of their neck haven't stood up when they felt, you know, unsafe, or they were in a compromising position, or that there were times where they just didn't like know something. It's actually really quite primal. And I think, you know, I've touched on this idea that our inner guidance and higher guidance is different. And so, you know, you use the term woo-woo, and I get it. I know why people use that term, but I think it's often used because we don't understand it. And so higher guidance starts to feel a little woo-woo, like, what do you mean we're talking about non-physical beings? Or like, but I think when we start to really think about, particularly, like, again, I have a tendency to take things so deep, but if we think about just our lives and where do we go? And I know that every single person listening will have either lost someone that they love or possibly has contemplated this at some point, that, you know, just because we physically lose someone, we still hold them in our hearts. Many people have said to me that they can still feel them around, or that, you know, in my case, are communicating with them. That feels so quote unquote woo-woo because it doesn't make any logical sense. It doesn't fit the box. And like historically, people were burned at the stake for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I should have just stuck with the short answer of yes.
I love that you've given more context. I love that. And you know, that woo-woo thing, every time I say it, I'm, you know, I've very self card carrying woo-woo person myself.
Yes, Lorraine, you are converted.
But there's an element of apology or an embarrassment about it, and I actually want to stop using it. Every time I use it, I'm like, no, I want to find a better word to use. But it's almost like it just puts all of that, I guess, intuitive energy, healing, just anything that's open to anything that's beyond the physical world that we can touch and feel. It kind of puts everything into that box, and I think it takes away its power. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I would love for that word to lose that power, because ultimately, like, if we were to reclaim it and reclaim that we are intuitive beings and we actually reclaim our own power, it's actually a superpower. I don't want to pretend that I can't do this. And also, I hope that part of the work that I do is perhaps normalize it for many people. So the work that I do may be woo-woo, but I don't think I am woo-woo.
Yes, I love that. Absolutely love that. So if I was to ask you the three most simple and effective ways that we can actually tap into that guidance, you've already shared that it's the stillness, the space, and the silence.
Yes, for inner guidance. I think for higher guidance, again, guided meditation can help. Oracle cards are actually a great way to connect with that higher guidance, and also an activity called automatic writing. And so if anyone is familiar with Julia Cameron's work in The Artist's Way, she recommends morning pages, and a lot of people do that practice. And often when you're doing morning pages, you actually will slip into automatic writing and not know that that's what you've done. So automatic writing is where your consciousness is not putting the words on the page and something else, something higher, is being channeled through you.
Wow. You know, I've never done it. I've talked about it and I've never actually done morning pages. I want to try it. You've just kind of bumped up my priority list again. So for higher guidance, you say morning pages, the guided meditations, any particular meditations that would be helpful to tap into that higher guidance, do you think?
I mean, I have a whole suite of my own. which actually,
and what is the best one if people want to start kind of dipping in?
Okay, so I've got one that is for meeting your spirit guide. There is one for meeting your higher self. They're probably two that are quite good at tapping into the higher guidance as a starting point.
Yeah, perfect. And I'll link to those in the show notes as well, so we have them as well. So can we talk about your oracle cards for a second? Because I think I've probably gotten hundreds of people onto your oracle cards now. And I don't know if we should talk about them because they're out of stock at the moment, aren't they? What's the latest on the oracle cards?
Well, as we're recording this, I'm hoping to have an update this afternoon. Look, the short answer is that they are out of stock, and I was in the process of wanting to do an update with them. In the meantime, I found my publisher. I've published a book. I'm talking to them about bringing them back, and then COVID hit. So my short answer is these cards will come back, but they seem to have a divine timing all of their own. There is a wait list. And if you're on the wait list, you'll get them first. But they will come back at some undetermined point in the future.
Okay, got it. TBC, what's the space? So just to explain how – can I just touch on – because, I mean, your oracle cards are beautiful and I've used them for probably seven or eight years now. And I've also got a second deck, which I use. I use a Dorian Virtue deck as well. So just to explain how I use oracle cards, I use them as part of my morning, my miracle morning. And I will meditate and then I'll draw a card from each pack in the morning, each morning. And that to me is it's what I need to be aware of for the day ahead, or maybe the message that I need to receive. I've gifted them to a lot of friends as well. And I know they lead them on quite heavily as well. I love Lexi we got her, myself and Wade went away for a night to Barrie a couple of months ago. And we were in this beautiful bookstore and I got her a pack of Snap. So it's a game of Snap with all these different mermaids on them. But she calls them her cards.
Love it.
They're Lexi's oracle cards. She pulls a mermaid, and her favorite one's the otter. Anyway, it's very cute. So I think with the oracle cards, I love that you've touched on them because they're very tangible as well. You know, I think sometimes if we're meditating and we're getting a message, we're like, oh, is this real? Is it not? What I love myself about the oracle cards is they're, you know, I can touch and feel them and I can hold them. And yeah, I think they're very, very powerful. So what I will do is I'll pop a link to the wait list for the oracle cards into the show notes as well.
Awesome.
And or people could just jump on your website, which is helenjacobs.co, isn't it? Yes,
it is.
.co is your website. So yeah, I think oracle cards is a really, really great tip. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? And this is something that I struggle with, try to figure out a lot in my life. How do we differentiate between the guidance that we're getting and our ego and our fear?
I like to say to people that trial and error is going to be a really important part of this.
Mm.
So, and that applies for a seasoned professional psychic.
Love that.
Generally speaking, our guidance is really loving. It wants us to expand. It wants us to grow. It wants us to rise up and to shine. Our ego wants to keep us safe.
Mm.
And so depending on, you know, the question that we're contemplating or the choice or decision that we're trying to make, our fear can often be confused for our intuition, because fear can be a really strong emotion. It can bring up all of these sort of sensations in our body, and we think that it means, oh, I shouldn't take that step or make the leap. But actually, our fear is trying to keep us safe. So mm-hmm. when we're trying to process if something is, you know, our fear or ego or our intuition, is the underlying message trying to help us grow? And if that's the case, even if we don't like it or it is scary, then generally speaking, you could assume that that is your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So let me think of an example. This is a slightly different example. In fact, someone just asked me this, a client just asked me this earlier this morning, because they were worried that, like, the business that they want to grow in, the direction that they want to move in, and like the bigness of it. She was like, oh, well, is that my ego? Is the bigness ego? So sometimes we need to make sure, like, well, yeah, are we trying to do something purely for, you know, accolades, or is it actually in our best interest as well as the interest of everyone we're going to go on and serve to have a certain presence or a certain bigness, whatever that might mean. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our ego is tricky enough to tell us not to follow that.
Yes.
Like, oh no, that's not going to be safe. Don't have the platform. Don't have the visibility. Don't take on that big project. You know, whereas actually it would help you grow, and so your intuition is probably pushing you towards it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to summarize that, then, generally messages from our fear / ego are going to be keeping us small, like restricting us almost. Mm-hmm. They'll be not filled with fear, but they will have a fearful tinge. Mm-hmm. Whereas messages from our higher self are going to be more loving, more encouraging, and more empowering.
Yes, but it may not feel like sunshine and unicorns. It may feel like a stretch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost like if it's ending the relationship, you don't want to end. You know that that's in your higher. It's good to do that, and it's the best thing for you, but it's not going to be an easy road. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. In fact, I say that intuition is not a guarantee to easy street.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, thank you.
And really, if you're looking for it to be easy, then your ego's in charge.
yes, that's so true. So with the intuition, so you've touched on intuition a few times as we've been talking, and I know we are, at the moment, we have got our Create Academy program, which is starting in, I think like it'll be 2 weeks after this episode goes out, which is so exciting. And the reason I asked you to join me in it, is that so much of creativity is our intuition, and I'm reading. Have you read Big Magic by Liz Gilbert?
Of course.
You have. So, you know, she talks about that the idea is external to us. It's mm-hmm. it's not even part of us. It's been beautiful to reread. It's a point that I didn't pick up as much the first time I read the book. So I'm rereading at the moment. And so the reason I'm really excited to have you as part of Create Academy is that I think so much of what we can go and create comes from this higher guide, and it comes from our inner guidance. It's communicated to us via our intuition. And that's why I really wanted to ask you that question about how do we know the difference between the ego, which is trying to keep us small and prevent us from creating anything new because it wants to keep us safe. And if we create something, then of course we're putting ourselves out there, there's the potential for failure, and that's the ego's worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then how do we know the beautiful idea that just drops in and almost like it's like putting out the hand saying, pick me, you know, I want to go do this. So that's why I'm so excited to have you as part of Create Academy, because I think you can come in and give so much guidance and so much gold to the group doing Create Academy. Can you touch on that, the link between your intuition and your creativity, briefly first? Because I know obviously you've got a whole lesson plan that we're crafting together for your weekly plan. But could you touch on that link briefly as part of this chat as well, please?
I actually see intuition and creativity as essentially one in the same, that they come from this same source. When I'm talking about creating this stillness, space, and silence, when I'm talking about tuning into your intuition, and even when we're wanting to work with our creativity, they are all feminine energies. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is quite cyclical, seasonal. When we think about creativity, it's much like the birth process. There's a conception, a gestation, a laboring, and a birth. Mm-hmm. And if we can work with the energy, that feminine energy that's behind it, and we trust that there is some sort of magic underpinning this, what I call them soul seeds. If we can trust, Elizabeth Gilbert would call it, like you were saying before, I think it's a while since I've read Big Magic, but I think she calls it the genius, perhaps.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So I call them soul seeds. They're these little seeds that are like these whispers, these seeds that are given to us. And if we choose to accept it, we can conceive the idea and gestate the idea, and we will labor the idea and birth the idea. And when we're working with our intuition, and perhaps, you know, obviously you have had Lexi, and for your listeners who've carried children before or birthed children before, the mother is the custodian, and she's working with that baby. The baby knows what it's doing. It will grow the hair follicle or the liver or, you know, the fingernail. And so the mother is trusting the magic of that seed. And she's going to follow her intuition for what medical professional she might want to work with, or the food choices that she wants to make, or the way that she's caring for her body at any given point. Mm-hmm. So I see them as being in tandem. And when we've got both really well tuned, we are really quite powerful creators.
Wow. I love that. Oh, that's like a mic drop moment for Helen Jacobs, I think.
Right. My work here is done.
Is there anything else you want to touch on what you've got for people, got in store for people as part of Create Academy?
Well, look, I think essentially everything that we've covered here is a little taste test of what's coming. I want to actually dive into some of those practices of what is your intuition. I want to really dive into more that idea of conceiving and gestating and like the feminine energies and how we can actually incorporate that so that, you know, we're actually gardeners and tending to our creative projects. We're not builders slapping together a project.
Yes, I love that. And you introduced me to that concept of, I mean, you talked about that we were midwives. Remember when we came to my Byron Bay? Seems like another world away now, my Lord.
Oh, God.
The week before, I think, ISO, 2 weeks before ISO hit. And you did introduce us to, at the retreat, you introduced us to that idea of the midwives, and that we are the midwives of our ideas. So, and I do totally agree with you that the creative energy is quite a feminine energy. And that's not to say men can't be super creative as well, but it requires the nurturing of that creative energy, feminine energy, in order to bring that creativity forth.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to hear what you've got to share on that. I think it's going to be life changing, really, if you think about it.
Wow, I hope so.
Unblock. Sense. No pressure, Helen.
No, I know. I'm thinking, okay, you've really, you've pitched this high.
Helen, one changed your life. Money back guarantee.
Oh, God. I will
call
try.
Call Helen, not me. Is there anything else you wanted to share? I know, and I, as you know, I could happily talk to you on these topics for hours and hours and hours at an end. And is there anything else that you wanted to share that maybe any gaps that you felt we've left for people? I think you've been really instructive in terms of, first of all, giving us that context of where this guidance comes from, and also that differentiation that you've drawn between the higher guidance and the inner guidance. That's just gold. You've just given me such a, as Oprah would say, a massive aha moment on that. Is there anything else, Helen, that you would want to share with people, any gaps you felt that we've left for people before we wrap up?
Look, I think the only other thing that I would want to add is just start small. This doesn't have to be going from zero to, you know, 100 overnight, even though that was my personal experience. Just start small. Start working with your intuition on, what do I want to eat today? What do I want to wear today? Do I want to keep these appointments in my calendar? Just work in a small way and build your intuitive muscle. What also happens is you start to develop proof. And so the ego, when it has proof that your intuition panned out, is likely to listen to it again. And the more that you do that, the more the guidance is going to expand, and the more ready you're going to be to make really big decisions from a guided place.
Yeah, I love that, Helen. And also, I think it's funny that you said that, because I just wrapped up my previous episode that I was just recording before we got on the phone, and I talked about just that idea of layering, just mm-hmm. layering it gradually. Don't feel like, particularly with this particular season of the podcast and with anything in life, whether it's something you're sharing, Helen, or I'm sharing, anyone else is sharing, I think we, and it's almost that ego thing, isn't it? It's that greed, that rush to go, okay, I'm just going to integrate absolutely everything and make it all happen. And actually what's better in the long run is that we take the small, consistent steps that leads up to sustainable success, and we can actually more deeply integrate the different practices into our life. So I love that you've left us on that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Because if we know anything about the spirituality space, this is always something new to learn. So
for everyone. And the minute that any of us think that we know it all, start again.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. And I cannot wait to work with you on Create Academy. I'm so happy to have you. So thank you for joining me on that as well.
Oh, thanks so much. It's always so much fun when we get together, Lorraine. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Helen, for joining me on this very first episode of the LM Life Lessons season. I really appreciate it. And I know, I could have talked for hours and hours with you on this topic, but with this season, I'm trying to keep the episodes pretty short and sweet. So thank you for working with me and being so succinct and knowledgeable as always on your topic of expertise. So if you would like to connect with Helen, you can find her website at helenjacobs.co, and her Instagram is at helenjacobs.co. I've popped links in the show notes to the guided meditations, the oracle cards, and the You Already Know book that we mentioned. And don't forget that Helen is a guest trainer on my new Create Academy program. Enrollments are open now, and it all kicks off on Friday. I'm saying term starts on Friday the 12th of June. So you can find that at lorrainemurphy.com.au/create-academy. And don't forget that I'm hosting that free, well, two free masterclasses next week, next Wednesday and one next Thursday, which is all about helping you find your creative flow. And you can grab your spot on my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au/masterclass. And as always, all the links to everything are in the show notes as well. So sending you much love. Thank you for tuning into this first episode of the LM Life Lessons season. And I'm very excited to have you on this journey over the next few weeks. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is at Lorraine Remarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.